You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's once again time for our Warning Wednesdays. For those who don't know why we do this segment, it's because consumers out there don't seem to take things seriously until it's too late. And we try to prevent that by informing our consumers, informing our listeners around the importance of doing your homework. We have a couple of warnings to get through. We've got a couple of surprising announcements from the FSCA to look into. And when we have these conversations with the FSCA, we always make sure that we have the best on hand to have these discussions with. I'm joined on the line by the Divisional Head of Enforcement at the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, Gerard van Deventer, to take a look at some enforcement matters and some warnings that we need to get out there. Good evening, Gerard. Always lovely to speak to you. Let's start with enforcement actions against those that were linked to some VBS matters.
Thank you, Jimmy. The feeling is mutual as always, and I really appreciate you getting these messages out. So yeah, we did make a media release to tell the public that we took action against Gundu Wealth Solutions and its key individual, Mr. Razvinani. And you're right, that is a outflow of the whole VBS investigation, much bigger investigation, not our investigation, but a much bigger investigation. You would have noted we are really only involved in the fringes on the whole VBS because it was a bank issue more than anything else, and it was a prudential authority investigation. But where it became relevant for us, we did take up those issues to investigate, and Gundu Wealth is certainly one of those. We took the steps to take action against him after, of course, the whole process, big investigation, and then, of course, the whole enforcement process. So we imposed a penalty of 3 million rand on Mr. Razvinani, and we debarred him for 10 years. And that is basically for contraventions of our general code and quite a few of those contraventions. But what it really comes down to is the advice that he provided to two clients, the Community Schemes Ombuds Services and the Polokwane Local Municipality. So they invested surplus funds deposits with VBS Bank. And our view, our findings, is that that advice was totally inappropriate, amongst others, because it circumvented the Public Finance Management Act and the Municipal Finance Management Act. And those are quite strict rules, and they're there for a reason. But of course, big issue always for us, Jimmy, is did our financial services providers properly look at analyzing client risk profiles? We're talking about suitability of these investments. And in our view, this was not the case here. Hence the enforcement actions.
Speaking of suitability, Gerard, let's move to the other enforcement action that came out today. That was the suspension of the Bankso license, the Bankso FSP license. Now, in the past, we've seen a lot of comments in the media around the Bankso specific business, everything from deepfake conversations, inappropriate services that are being rendered. And it's quite interesting with this particular organization because they also have been very public in being the sponsors of South Africa's national football team. And that is a very dangerous thing for an entity to claim to be regulated appropriately, but then to find themselves in this situation. Can you tell us why you chose to suspend that license?
Yes, of course. So I have to start off, Jimmy, by just saying that the investigation is not completed. So the statements I'm making are not final findings by the FSCA. We will soon finalize our report, and then we will provide Bankso with the opportunity to properly reply. So we have to see it in that light. In short, what we're talking about here is the whole investigation started as a result of a scam. I think that everybody's is very well aware of by now, and that's the Immediate Matrix scam. And that was the typical AI and impersonation scams, the deep fake videos of Elon Musk and Rupert and Nikki Oppenheimer and so forth. And then, of course, something that you and I know very well and spoken about a lot before, completely unrealistic returns. So it was clear that it was a scam. And then also they gave out that they had some link to Bankso, which is a regulated entity. So that lends a lot of legitimacy to the whole thing. But as the investigation progressed, there were certain things that raised major concerns with the FSCA. So we refocused our investigation to include Bankso in it. And we have now reached the point where we see a definite link between Bankso and Immediate Matrix. And it may be that they can explain it, but it is a concern. It's also a concern that Bankso is the big beneficiary of the scam. In other words, when people went onto the Immediate Matrix fraudulent website, they were directed to Bankso. So there's a lot of technicalities around that we will properly address, and I'm sure they will properly address with us. But needless to say, that is an issue. Some of the other issues that's also of concern to us is that they seem to have employed very aggressive sales techniques that definitely does not amount to good advice to clients. And the other thing that we've seen before is the client loses money, he's then aggressively encouraged to commit more money. And that's not a healthy thing. And then lastly, you know, back to the risk issue, back to the suitability of the product issue. So this is at best, this is a contract for difference, a derivative instrument, high risk, suitable for a very small part of the community. And we are not convinced that there were proper risk analysis and proper advice based on this risk analysis. So we thought at this stage, although we haven't made final findings, and although they haven't had an opportunity to reply, it would be the responsible thing to do to provisionally withdraw the license, finalize the investigation, and then take the matter further. Yeah, that's where we are with it. You would probably know that in this process, we also collaborated with the FIC, the Financial Intelligence Center. They froze some funds in the accounts. I think we're looking at about 92 million that was frozen. And we also collaborated with the Asset Forfeiture Unit, who obtained a preservation order with reference to those funds. So the first step is to safeguard the assets, and then it gives us a breather to complete the investigation and to deal with the case properly.
The matter is still ongoing, and that's why the license has been provisionally withdrawn at this stage. We will keep an eye on this and obviously update our listeners around this. Mkharat, I want to move on to the decision to set aside a previous enforcement action that went through in March of this year. There was a 216 million rand fine that was levied against a gentleman named Konrad Buerter, who was involved with the coin-based innovation global businesses. That decision to have that fine set aside, take me through that and why that was made by the FSCA.
Yes, Jimmy, a bit of a painful one, but you can't always have exactly what you want. So, but let me explain. So every decision we make, every administrative action we take for proper order, and given the fact that we live in a country with a proper constitution, there must be protection for the public. So every decision we take, if it's an administrative decision, the other side, the respondent, has an automatic right of reconsideration to the Financial Sector Tribunal, an independent body from us, headed up by a judge of the High Court, and from there onwards on review as well. So some respondents do exercise this right, and that is fine. So in the present case, what happened, yes, we were taken on reconsideration. And the matter was set aside. It was by agreement, because when they launched the application, we had a good look at their papers, and we actually thought that there may be some merit in what they're saying. So we actually agreed to a consent order in front of the tribunal, and the order was that the decision is set aside and it's remitted back to the FSCA. So it's now back in our hands. We have to now reconsider what we're going to do. We may do further investigation. We may impose penalties or sanctions again, but we need to reconsider what the decision should be. So just very shortly, on the decision itself, on the setting aside of it, it has nothing to do with the merits of the case. It has to do with the technical aspects, and that has really to do with who should be imposing the penalty. Should it be the FECA or should it be the Prudential Authority? So it's a technical issue of the process, but we believe it is a valid issue. And as I say, it does not relate to merits. We still hold the same view on the merits of this case. And this is not a regulated entity, by the way. This is outside. This is unregistered business.
Nothing like being thorough. Gerard, before I let you go, let's look at one of the most significant decisions by the FSCA. This is something that you and I have previously spoken about and been outspoken around in the public space around signal providers. And we've done a segment around that on this particular show and on other platforms to say that it's so important to have the correct licensing and regulation if you are a signal provider, if you're offering these sorts of services. And today the FSCA imposed its first ever signal provider fine.
That is correct, Jimmy, and thank you so much for that question. This is such an important issue for me. You are right, we spoke about it before, we shared platforms before where we spoke about it, and I'm very concerned about the number of so-called signal providers out there. Of course, this refers to the practice of people providing advice to persons trading on trading platforms. And this advice means they tell people what to buy and sell and at what price and so forth. And then they get rewarded for this advice. And this advice relates to a financial product. So it is clearly financial services, and for that you require a license. And the sad part, however, is if you do this in an unlicensed fashion, your clients or the public doesn't have that protection of a regulatory framework of codes of conduct, acting in the best interest of the client, acting with due care and diligence, not having a conflict of interest, etc. And what we see often with signal providers is that even if it ends badly, and it often does for the clients, the signal provider still gets rewarded because they work on a commission basis and so forth. So the long and the short of this is that you cannot provide signals if you don't have a license. And in this specific case, the person operated, Mr. Mahali operated under a name Private Jet Injectors. And Private Jet Injectors is not a company, it's just a name. And Private Jet Injectors were definitely providing signals. Didn't end well for the clients. And we imposed a 1 million rand penalty, just over a 1 million rand penalty. That was calculated based on the funds received by the investigated party. And then an additional percentage because we did not receive proper cooperation from him. So that's quite an aggravating factor for us, is whether you've cooperated or not. And a debarment of 10 years, of course. So this just confirms once again, like you and I have discussed many times, Jimmy, signal providers is just another form of financial advice. You cannot do that without a license. The other thing, of course, that's worrisome about signal providers is you often see them display wealth to lure clients in. And public have to ask themselves, that display of wealth, is it real? That's the big question.
Lots of questions, but very, very clear answers from the FSCA around how these matters are going to be dealt with and treated. If you find yourself on the wrong side of the law, don't say we didn't warn you. That's why we have this consumer awareness feature. That's why we call it Warning Wednesdays. Sometimes we call it Warning Thursdays, but either way, don't say we didn't tell you. Thank you so much, Gerard. We'll leave it at that. That's Gerard van Dieven, the Divisional Enforcement Head at the FSCA, on some enforcement matters and actions they've taken, but also in general on things that consumers need to be aware of.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.